I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee.
Amen, brother.
Terry and Jesse Show, I'm 10-8. I'm reporting for duty under the Lord Jesus Christ, under the banner of Virgin Most Powerful, and my partner, Terry.
Terry Barber, I'm reporting for duty, Jesse. And I got to tell you, today's show is going to be interesting for a number of reasons. We've got a huge announcement to make. Bishop Sheen's coming in with another bishop. And wait till you hear who he brought in on that choo-choo train, a locomotive. We're also going to talk, Jesse, about something you should know a lot about, being a former cop for 20 years, about the officer charged with murder for the shootings of Rayshard Brooks. Everybody's seen the video footage. Horrible, horrible video footage. And so I want to get your take, Jess, on that as a Catholic cop. And as a cop in the sense of, was it necessary for that policeman to shoot that man who was, you know, in a big fight with the cop? Well, that's the question.
I'm going to put in a little plug. We did a whole hour of it with brother Henry, who's a use of force expert in the United States on Jesus 911. So if you want to get like the full case law, Supreme Court decision, expert policy analysis, you can listen to Jesus 911. We did it today with my brother Henry, who is a nationally recognized use of force expert in law enforcement. But I'll definitely
give
some soundbites.
Good, Jesse. And we're also going to talk about civil rights leader Marxist philosophy of BlackLivesMatter.org will harm communities. We'll get into that. And one more thing that we've touched on a little bit, Jess, and I think it's important. I saw a video of a black man in front of a hospital. They were protesting and saying that Black Lives Matter. And the gentleman said to them, oh, really? Okay, so what about unborn babies that are black? Do they matter? And they said, no. And he said, I thought so. You guys are racists. And so I thought that was an interesting comment that he did. It was on YouTube. But we're going to talk about the pro-life protesters' decree about New York for arresting them while allowing Black Lives Matter crowds. What's that all about? Is there equality here, or is there an agenda? And much, much more. Like I said, we got a big announcement to make. But before we do all of that, what do we do? Oh, one more quick note.
Soul food.
Yeah, soul food. But Steve Ray will be here Saturday to do the virtual pilgrimage on the Holy Land. You might want to check on to that, because that'll be an education in biblical teachings by going to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Yeah, soul food, Jesse. This is great, man. It's on prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's right in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 15. Let's preach it, brother. Proclaim it.
Jesus said to his disciples, in praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus is referring to a scene in the book of 2 Kings when Elijah, he chose off the false prophets of Baal, and he said, you pray to Baal, I'll pray to Yahweh, and we'll see who listens to whose prayers. And these 450 prophets were dancing around this fire. They were cutting themselves with knives. They were babbling incoherent phrases. That's the reference that St. Matthew is talking about in context. Goes on to say, this is how you are to pray. So this is our Lord telling the apostles how you are to pray. And he gives them the most famous prayer, or St. Thomas Aquinas says, the most important prayer in Christianity. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A lot of things could be said here.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, our Lord tells us to call the first person of the Blessed Trinity our Father. And so he didn't say my Father. He says our Father. In other words, we're part of the worldwide family of God. We're the brotherhood of man, not under Freemasonry, nope, but under the fatherhood of God. And notice, here's something very interesting. This prayer is very powerful because this prayer, it causes injury to the diabolical. Why? Because the devil used to be a son of God. That's what it says in the book of Job 38. He used to be one of the sons of God. Now the devil, according to exorcist theology, he's a fatherless son. So he roams the earth wounded. He has a father wound. And this is what makes him specifically dangerous. So don't take it for granted that you can say our father. That's a gift and a grace that we can do that. Also, notice, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the opposite of Satanism and Luciferianism. Satanism and Luciferianism teaches my will be done. That's Satanism and Luciferianism. Christianity teaches thy, God the Father, thy will be done. What else do we see here? Give us this day our daily bread. In the English, you don't see it, but in the Greek, it says, give us this day our epiousion. What does epiousion mean? Well, the Catechism of the Church in paragraph 2837, it says, the word epiousios literally means super essential. Super essential. So what's the super essential bread? No, it isn't Yum Yum's donuts. It's the Holy Eucharist.
Amen.
This is a reference to the Holy Eucharist.
You bet.
And what is the Holy Eucharist? What does it help us? Number one, it helps us fight against temptation, as we see in the next verse. And what else does it help us do? Ultimately, it delivers us from the hands of Satan, as it says in the last sentence, but deliver us from evil. The Catechism says on that phrase, it says that the actual Greek says, deliver us from the evil one. So the Our Father is a minor exorcism prayer. We're calling God Father, a label that Satan can no longer use. He no longer has the right or the ability to look at God and call him our Father. He lost that privilege, so he walks around with a father wound. And we're asking God the Father through Jesus to feed us with the Eucharist every single day. Why? So that we can fight against temptation and ultimately be delivered from Satan every single day and at the hour of our death. Terry?
Well said. You are what you eat. And I want to remind what Jesse said about forgiveness. We have a CD called A Hidden Power of Forgiveness. We'll email to you. You don't have to CD, but I want you to hear Deacon Bob McDonald. I've distributed hundreds of thousands of these. It's really helped people with forgiveness. So if you can't forgive somebody, call us at 877-526-2151. Anthony or Trish will send you that. Jesse, before I bring in Bishop Sheen, I want to give some people some news here. One way that people support us is through buying stuff through Amazon, but now we have a smaller group. It's called couponbird.com. And we're registered now into the Catholic Resource Center, which is the underwriting company for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. To join, you just press join on the seating project. You get a discount, and we get a percentage of your sales, kind of like Amazon.com, but it's just another way of supporting us without money coming out of your pocket. Let's bring Bishop Sheen in on that locomotive train. This time he's got a bishop, a brother bishop. Picture this, Bishop Sheen coming in to say, folks, I want to introduce you to Bishop Joseph Strickland. Yes, we've had him on our show. He's the Bishop of Tyler. Well, folks, I was out the other day because I'm trying to work on getting other radio stations to pick up a brand new show we just are doing, and that's going to be the Bishop Strickland Hour. And he's going to be doing what Bishop Sheen did back in the 1950s that was so effective in the Catholic Church, and that is teach people the meaning and purpose of life. Give them the perennial teachings of the church. It's going to start in a couple weeks. Once a week, I'll have him on, and this is going to go all around the country, all around the world. But folks, I can't think of a better bishop right now who would mimic a Fulton Sheen in the sense of content and his passion for truth. And you know what else I love about him, Jesse? I know you even thought about moving to Tyler when you left California.
It was between Phoenix and Tyler, Texas.
Yeah, because of him, right?
Yeah, because of him.
It wasn't the weather.
Nope.
And why, Jesse? Because he speaks the truth in charity, and he's not afraid to speak up on issues of the faith. And now he's going to be part of Virgin Most Powerful Family, and I just wanted to give everybody that news. And if you have a radio station that you know wants to pick that up, they can call me at 661 661- 972-7872. And the reason we're doing all this new programming, we've got another show coming. We'll talk about that a little later on Dr. Sandoval dealing with mental health and spiritual warfare, how the two work together. We got much more coming, but I want to thank, Jesse, the people who support us, because we could never do all of this without your support. And if you want to be a monthly donor and get all these monthly CDs sent to you via the internet, you just call 877-526-2151, and that way you can be a monthly donor. Jesse, I want to remind people, you're going to be out next week, and Bishop Strickland's going to fill in for you on Tuesday. So if you don't know who Bishop Strickland is...
I'm going to be in his diocese. Next week, I'm going to be in Bishop Strickland's diocese for 3 days, so... His diocesan catechetics office.
Well, that seems
invited
reasonable.
Me to go out there and give catechesis for 3 nights in a row. So, while Bishop Strickland is ramping up
funny.
Shows here, I'm going to be in his diocese. So
that's a good.
I also want to mention that this Saturday,
yes.
Bishop David O'Connell is going to be doing prayers of reparation and healing.
That's right.
Over in Southern California, actually, over in your neck of the woods,
a half a mile away.
It's going to be from 5 to 6 p.m. this Saturday at the Heritage Plaza Park. It's going to be with the CatholicMen.org, CatholicMen.org. Join them for an hour of power out in public, an evening of fellowship and prayer of reparation with Bishop David O'Connell and the Catholic Men.
And let me give you the address. It's 400 North Citrus Avenue in Covina, so you can Google that and come.
Or they could go to CatholicMen.org, CatholicMen.org, and make sure you go back these guys up in prayer.
Absolutely. We're going to come back more. We're going to talk a little bit about the officer charged with murder for shooting Rayshard Brooks. Was it justified? That's what we're going to talk about when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show, Virgin Most Powerful, Charity with Clarity. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father Altier and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Here's a bit of good news. Planned Parenthood just put out a press release. They're saying it's critical that we defeat Donald Trump because we cannot exist another 4 years if he wins.
Oh, that's good reason for me. So
So Planned Parenthood is saying that they're on basically on life support system right now.
Good.
They're saying if Donald Trump wins for another 4 years, they're saying they can't survive as a killing organization if he wins again because he's killing them. How? Death by a thousand slashes. And so they're saying, please vote for Joe Biden because we can't survive. Planned Parenthood of America can't survive if President Trump wins again. We're done. So that's a bit of good news.
That is good news. It really makes it clear, Jesse, in my mind, how the voting should come. Who's going to be the president for life? And who's going to be the president for death? It's real clear.
Yeah, hey, real quick, let's go to this.
It's officer charge.
Other topics.
Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
Make a brief comment because I spent a whole hour on this.
Yeah, sure.
On my Jesus 911 show.
Right.
So there's an Atlanta police officer. Two Atlanta police officers are Caucasian.
Everybody's seen
officer
the video.
Rolf and Garrett Rolf
right.
And his partner. They are they're being prosecuted now. They've been charged with murder for the death of Rayshard Brooks. Rayshard Brooks was an ex-felon. I mean, somebody who's been to prison before. He's got a felony record. He's an ex-felon, an ex-con. He was pulled over. He was driving under the influence. And apparently he was having a good conversation with the officers. They were trying to, again, officers try to use their mouth before anything else.
I watched
else.
It, yeah.
That's how you try to defuse somebody and you know,
sure.
get them to turn around and put their handcuffs when you're going to arrest them. Mm-hmm. You try to use the art of rhetoric. So they're using the art of rhetoric on Rayshard Brooks. And apparently he was cooperative. And apparently everything he was congenial. And all of a sudden he went from 1 to 10. That's what we call in police. And police use the force escalation, de-escalation. A person doesn't necessarily go from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4 in terms of their aggression. Sometimes they go from just being completely passive and listening to attack. They go from 1 to 10. That's what happened here, okay? Brooks started fighting with the police officers, and he took the stun gun away from one of the police officers. Now, the stun gun, by this district attorney here, by the prosecutor in Atlanta, he's actually deemed it a deadly weapon. In another case previous to this, he deemed it a deadly weapon. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So Rayshard Brooks, he takes this stun gun, he snatches it from the officers, and he fires at them during the clash. Then he begins running away. So Officer Rolf and his other partner, they're running after him. And again, people don't realize when you're focused, when you're in a fight or flight situation, and I know I've been a fighter. I fought 64 times in the ring. Nothing else exists but you and the fighter in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You got complete tunnel vision. No, you can't hear anything else. And so this has even been done in a court of law. When an officer sees that he's been aggressed upon and now he's escalating his aggression, his use of force, he has complete tunnel vision. And so as Brooks fires a stun gun at him again, if the dart would have hit him,
tell us what happens.
It'll immobilize you. It'll paralyze.
For how long, Jesse?
It could be for a few minutes, a few seconds to a few minutes. You're completely paralyzed. That's all it takes for the suspect to take your gun away.
There you go.
And execute you.
Yeah.
And so at this point, remember, there's always a delay in reaction time. It's easier for somebody to act. It takes about a 1.6 second delay for you to react. So the officer, as he shoots the stun gun, he's taking out his gun, and he's going to stop the aggressor. And by the way, this is even based on Catholic principles, based on the Catechism of the Church, 2263. The Catholic Church says that you're called to use the proportionate force necessary to overcome the unjust aggression of another person. And so he shot at him, and again, he hit him in the back. Now, again, we don't know the state of mind of the officer when he shot at him. Did he shoot at him when Brooks was facing him? Okay, we don't know that. And now he's turning around and running. That's going to be determined by a court of law. That's going to be determined by a jury of his peers and also by a civil by a board hearing, by a due process hearing. Here's the problem. Once again, he was given no due process. He was fired immediately. And now the prosecutor is once again, and this is all political. This is all political machinations. They're overcharging him to try to quell the community so they can prevent another riot from occurring here in this place. And so this is pure politics at play. Because what would a prosecutor do in another time? Say, okay, police shooting. All right, we're going to investigate. Officers, you have a desk job, okay? So you're going to be you're not going to be on the field. And then this is investigated. Witnesses are interviewed. You have a civil rights hearing, a board of rights hearing, excuse me, to see if you use proper policy and use of force, mm-hmm. if you're within policy. And then the district attorney makes an assessment as to if it's justifiable homicide or not justifiable homicide or excusable homicide. This is pure politics, okay? They threw the book at these guys, and this is basically to stop these anarchists from going into the city and starting a riot over there. And here's what I believe is going to happen in a court of law. You're not going to get, when they see the video and they watch this, they're going to say, okay, because here's the standard for a policeman, okay? Here's the Supreme Court standard mm-hmm. on two Supreme Court cases.
Okay.
The Supreme Court will always say, here's the word, is it reasonable, is the force that the officer used reasonable according to the circumstances? That's the criteria in all 50 states for use of force for all law enforcement officers. It's called the reasonable standard test. There's been two Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court cases that have said that nationally. And basically, this is the same thing as Catholicism. As Catholicism, we believe that we operate on life on planet Earth by faith and reason, like two wings on a bird, St. John Paul II said. And officers are held by the same Catholic standard. What they did according to the circumstances, would an ordinary, prudent, reasonable person have done the same thing? My take is yes. An ordinary, reasonable person would have done the same thing. I don't know what they expect these officers to do. I think too many people watch Spider-Man and watch The Flash and stuff. They say, okay, so a suspect takes your stun gun away. He's an ex-felon, an ex-convict, has been in prison before. He shoots it at you. What do they expect the cops to do? Oh, yeah, I guess they expect them to be like The Flash, right? Like Spider-Man, you know, just stretch their neck and just move away from the darts and just, you know, or be like, what's he called? The guy in the Fantastic Four, the guy that can stretch.
Yeah.
This is crazy. These guys are men like you and I in flesh and blood, and they only have natural powers. They don't have supernatural powers where they can be ducking and stretching and doing backflips over darts that are coming at them. And once again, this same District Attorney Paul Howard, is a pure hypocrite. Pure hypocrite, because a few weeks ago in another case when officers used a taser against some young students, the district attorney in that case, the same DA said, officers using a stun gun, deadly weapon. But now, a few weeks later, a stun gun is used against an officer. Now DA Paul Howard says quite the opposite. Now, it's not a deadly weapon. This guy is pure politics, and this is sad that many of our politicians, city mayors, DAs, and chiefs of police are just playing the politically correct game and just capitulating to the court of public opinion. I'm done.
Jesse, I have one question to ask you. All the cops that saw that, I saw the fight going on. He seemed like he was a pretty bad dude in the sense of strong. He threw the two cops that were fighting with him, I saw him just push the guys and throw them right over. It's like he had supernatural strength or something.
He was under the influence of alcohol for sure.
Yeah.
He was pulled over for drunk driving.
Yeah.
And people seem to forget, when you're angry,
yeah,
you become strong, like you're under the influence of PCP or LSD or some stimulant. That's what it does. It just triggers your passions, and they become very strong, especially ex-convicts.
Okay.
Because ex-convicts don't want to go back to prison. These guys will fight like pet bulls because they're saying, I'm not going back.
Yeah. Well, my question is, what is this message to all 650,000 cops in America when they see this injustice? Because, I mean, he didn't have a process yet to go through. But my question to you is, what's that going to... You got two of your sons as policemen in Phoenix.
You got cops all over the country that are resigning.
That's what I'm asking, yes.
That's what is going to happen. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be hard-pressed to find people that are going to join police departments right now. You're going to have to, I guess, hire them from third-world countries and stuff, because most young-blooded Americans are going to say, nope, I'm sorry, I'd rather go dig ditches than be a cop right now in this political atmosphere. And what's going to happen? Okay, well, just go ahead and watch the movie The Purge.
Yeah.
Okay, just watch the movie The Purge. And this is coming to a city near you. You take cops away and you demoralize them. Like, because most cops, you know what a lot of cops are doing, even in Atlanta? They're going to work and they're just sitting in their car. They're not going anywhere.
That's
they're
my
not
point.
Answering calls.
Yep.
They are not answering calls unless they hear an assistance call from an officer that's getting beat up or something. They're not answering calls no more. They're just sitting there because they're saying, okay, you don't want the police here. You don't respect us. You're making a difficult job even worse. You want to fire us and prosecute us for political points, to score political points. Fine, we will sit here. We will report for duty, and we're just going to stay here and only answer a radio call if an officer is being hurt. Guess who's going to be hurt by that?
The innocent.
Especially black neighborhoods.
Yep.
Good black people, which are most of them, they want cops in their neighborhood.
Of course.
Because they know that outside their windows, you got basically predators. A lot of these young guys are predators. And the good folks out there, which are the majority of people in neighborhoods, they want a police presence.
Of course.
Because I even got neighbors telling me, right? I got neighbors and family members that are telling me that have never owned a gun. Never. And were totally anti-gun. They are texting me, Jess, what type of gun should I buy? I'm going to get this. These were people that were so anti-gun because they know if you collapse the police department, you know what? You better lock your doors. You better have an alarm system. And you make better sure you have weapons inside the house because we're going to have the purge at the rate they're treating policemen in this country.
Well, Jesse, I can just say, confirming that, we've already seen crime rates going way up here in Southern California where they're telling the cops just to to back down. And so if rates are going up of violent crime, what do you think is going to happen when they defund the police department? See, this is madness. That's my point, Jesse. It's just madness. But I think hopefully, common sense will prevail because common sense isn't there.
Let me give you a spiritual reason why this is happening.
Tell me, brother.
On a spiritual level.
Yeah, good.
Hey, when you look at television, what do you have with these young kids, Antifa, Black Lives Matter? You got anarchy. What does anarchy mean? It's a Greek word. It means without order, no order. Why do we have anarchy here? I'll tell you why. And this is sad because we as Catholics were to blame as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lack of patriarchy.
There you go.
What does patriarchy mean? It means male order.
Yep.
It means bishops that are leaders. That gives us male order. Priests that are leaders and preaching the fullness of truth, not modernism. That gives us male order.
Yep.
Holy husbands and fathers that are praying for their kids, praying for their families, doing penance, living a life in a state of grace. That brings male order to the household. Government, good government, okay, that are based on natural virtue. That brings male order to a city. There's a breakdown in patriarchy, so we have anarchy.
Well said. We'll have more with the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Can you believe this? The hypocrisy? Pro-life protesters are decrying in New York, and rightfully, for being arrested while praying in front of abortion clinics for not using social distancing, while the same police department allows Black Lives Matter crowds and Antifa crowds that are blatantly violating any social distancing rules.
Terrible.
Nothing happens to them. What a bias against Christians. It's a bias against the pro-lifers. They're trying to abolish the pro-life movement. What I would call, by one piece of unjust legislation after another. It says here, Terry, a pair of pro-life New Yorkers arrested for sidewalk counseling outside of an abortion facility in allegedly violation of state social distancing guidelines is calling out the hypocrisy of forbidding safe, peaceful pro-life demonstrations while allowing the massive crowd protests of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Wow.
Terry.
Jesse, I have to just say this. This is just hypocrisy. You know, on May 30th, this just took place. Beverly Beattie and Edimi Chavez were outside a Manhattan Margaret Sanger Center, Planned Parenthood. Now, why is Margaret Sanger into this, Jess? Just a side note. She was the one who really wanted to be what we call prejudiced. She wanted all the black babies in any color dead. She did not want them to be born. And it's just ironic that we've got statues of her in our state capitol and different places, you know, saying she's a great woman when she isn't. So I just want to throw that out. But a security guard called the police, who ordered them to leave for social distancing reasons, like Jesse said. When they didn't, they were arrested for failure to disperse. Now, here's the point. Planned Parenthood is not following social distancing. I call that selective enforcing of the law. What do I mean by selective? Well, if you're pro-life, we're going to make you pay for it. But if you're for Planned Parenthood, you can look the other way, or you're with, you know, these other people who are protesting. We don't hold you to the same laws unless you are for life. And so this is hypocrisy at its best. And I like what she said. You know, we're black women, but we do not support Black Lives Matters because they're hand in hand with Planned Parenthood that kills African American babies. She continued. There's fraudulent hypocrisy here, and I believe all lives matter because God created them all. There are thousands of George Floyds that die every day in the mother's womb. That's a great way of saying it, Jesse, and it's just as unjust as when he died at the hands of the police officer. Jesse, I saw the video on YouTube, a black man saying to people protesting Black Lives Matter, saying that we got to have, you know, Black Lives Matter. And when he asked them about the unborn black babies that are being aborted, do they matter? And they said nothing. And so it's pretty obvious that they're selective here. And I think that it needs to come out to show the hypocrisy of who these people are. That's my take.
These two black American...
God bless them.
Yeah, Beattie and Chavons.
Yep.
They told Fox News that the hypocrisy of the situation was clear. They said this is a clear statement of their bias now.
Obviously.
It's blatant now.
Yeah.
It's really, truly biased against Christians, against pro-life abolitionists.
Yep.
They said, Beattie and Chavons said, we're black women.
Yep.
But we do not support Black Lives Matter because they're hand in hand with Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
That kills African American babies.
That's a fact.
They continued. They're fraudulent hypocrites. And I believe all lives matter because God created them.
Amen.
There are thousands of George Floyds that die every day in their mother's womb, and it's just as unjust as when he died at the hands of that police officer. Now, on a side note, a study was done by the University of Michigan and the University of Maryland, which says police are not disproportionately likely to use excessive lethal force against black suspects, according to researchers from the University of Michigan and Maryland. And at the same time, Black Lives Matter supports, quote, reproductive justice that gives us autonomy over our bodies, close quote. By the way, that has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter.
Exactly.
Or with civil rights. That's something that was inserted there by the culture of death. They've co-opted this movement, or that name, should I say.
Yeah.
And it says here, here's what's interesting. An estimated 40% of all U.S. abortions are sought by black women.
Hundreds of thousands of them.
Okay, so, and how many black women are there in America? About 6%. Mm-hmm. So black women are about 6% of the country's population, yet they have 40% of the abortions. What does that tell you?
Oh, it's obvious.
That tells you that they're targeting black women for exterminating the next generation.
That's right.
That means that Black Lives Matter supports the annual elimination of more than 344,800 black lives every year. And here's one more thing.
Horrible.
Black Lives Matter was started by three Marxist women. Okay, that's communism. Marxist philosophy is communism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and these three Marxist women who started Black Lives Matter, they call themselves queer activists, and they're funded by Marxists, and they tell people right up front what Black Lives wants to do. It's on their website.
It's there.
Here's the three things they want to do. Number one, disrupt the Western nuclear family model. Stop there.
Mom and dad, kids.
Who's going to be more affected by disrupting the Western nuclear family model? I'll tell you who's going to be most affected. The black community. Because they already right now suffer from 3 out of 4 black Americans don't have a dad at home. 3 out of 4. So if Black Lives Matter, that's been co-opted by the Marxists, if they're going to continue going down this path to disrupt the two-parent household, you're going to continue affecting the black community even worse. Here's the second thing that they want to do. It's on their website. Foster queer-affirming networks. Stop right there. What does that have to do with,
nothing.
Racial injustice.
Nothing. Okay?
Number three. Here's a third thing on their website. Defund the police. Okay. So if you defund the police, you have some other police department. Even Los Angeles is talking about it. They're talking about saying, okay, if we just defund the police and just have a small presence, we'll start sending social workers.
That's exactly what they said.
To handle calls. Yep. So can you imagine a violent husband from the Hell's Angels who just got out of prison and he's a drug addict and he's beating the tar out of his wife and raping his daughter every other day, and they get a police call for service. This guy is 6'4", 270 pounds. He's been pumping iron for 10 years in prison. And two social workers come and knock on the door.
That'll help.
Hi, we'd like to speak to Mr. Hell's Angels and ask you, why are you sodomizing your daughter? And why are you using drugs? And why are you beating up your wife? You know what he's going to do to those two social workers? He's going to use them as a toothpick to clean his teeth. There are just some situations that need the enforcement arm of the government called police departments to defuse a situation and to try to bring some type of normalcy before you get these guys help with a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a physical or a mental therapist. But the fact of the matter is, this is what Black Lives Matter is moving towards, Terry, defunding the police. All I could say is, welcome to a brave new world if that happens. Just take a look at the movie, The Purge.
Jesse, one thing you did say is that 3/4 of the families of black families don't have dad at home. And I want to just point something back to 1964 when we started giving a lot of welfare to families, especially black families, so that dad didn't have to take his responsibility to be there and support the family, and he can go off and start other families. Am I onto something, Jess, or is that just a fact? Well, how did it get so bad? What was the source for that problem?
I wrote it in a book. There's a chapter on that. It's called Knocked Off the Donkey.
Yep.
That's on my website, Jesse Romero. Mm-hmm. I have a chapter on how the black family started becoming dismantled. It was in
dysfunctional.
It was as a result of the New Deal that was brought on by Lyndon B. Johnson, a Democrat.
Yep.
He said, you know what, we're gonna bring welfare in to help out people get on their feet. Now, that's a good thing to help people get on their feet, but it became a way of life. And what happened at this point is that the welfare system, it made men lazy.
Yep.
You know why? Because right at the same time,
free money.
You had the sexual revolution and pornography that came in through Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler. So guys are now viewing pornography and they're like saying, that woman down the street looks a lot better than my wife with five kids, okay?
Yep.
Whose belly's hanging down, you know, over her pants, over her dress. And so pornography started moving men into promiscuity.
Yep.
And men had no problem saying, big deal. We got welfare now. The Democrats gave us welfare. The state will take care of my wife if I want to go and have a little bit of fun on the side. And oops, if you get caught, now the wife gets mad. Now we're going to file a divorce. Now we got a single family situation. And now we got
poverty.
Lack of patriarchal society.
Yep.
No patriarch in the family. By the way, that's how blessings come into the family, is through the male figures, through the man, the husband and father. Without that, the black family is basically defenseless from the diabolical. And what we've done now in a lot of our barrios and ghettos, we've now got a generation of matriarchs. In other words, fatherless homes. And this makes them easy prey for diabolical affliction, A, and B, just simply the criminal justice, the criminals just prey on these kids without fathers and just recruit them into their street gangs and turn them into a society of deviants.
Jesse, the number one cause for poverty in America is divorce. And that's what that causes, divorce. And we wonder why so
welfare
many people...
gave us divorce. Thank you very much.
And that's where I was pointing
because
out.
Because guys could say, hey, the state will take care of my wife. I like this girl at work better. I'm just going to leave my wife and the state will pick up the tab. That's what it made guys lazy. That's what it did. And lazy and irresponsible. And so, Terry, one last thing I just want to mention.
Sure, brother.
One of the founders of co-founder of Black Lives Matter, her name's Alicia Garza.
Mm-hmm.
That's Hispanic.
Yeah.
What's a Hispanic doing being one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter? In her Wikipedia page, which I'm looking at, it says Alicia Garza describes herself in a 2018 interview as a queer social activist and Marxist.
Makes sense.
Marxist, you know what that means, guys? Code word, communist. Up next.
Atheistic communism. Up next, we got more with you on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. This is high information. This isn't right versus left. This is right versus wrong.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're going to be talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but I just want to make one final point on the last segment.
Sure.
Is that Joe Biden is receiving money from Black Lives Matter.
Yeah,
now, I know
reason.
That Joe Biden, he's basically has said, you know what, I'm not for defunding the police department. He has said that, so I'm going to give him I'm going to give him credit. But the point is, if he really means that, then why is it that he's received
almost 120 grand. Go ahead.
Yeah, almost 120 grand to the Biden for President effort from, it goes, Black Lives Matter has a link in there. It's called Act Blue, and the Act Blue link under Black Lives Matter, it donates to the Joe Biden campaign. So he says one thing, but he's receiving money from an organization that he says that he doesn't agree with their position. To me, Terry, that's hypocrisy. He's trying to say, look at my left hand, but don't look at what I'm doing with my right hand. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And also one more thing. The Congressional Black Caucus chairperson, Karen Bass, she's a Democrat from California. She admitted in a forum with the Washington Post, she said, this is a Black Caucus chair, Karen Bass, Democrat from California, said this, quote, defunding the police is probably one of the worst slogans ever, close quote. And a common sense. And Karen Bass,
thank you.
Karen Bass also said that communities do need police. We do need police. But she called for more investment in solving social, health, and economic problems. So I have to give her credit. There's one Democrat from California that has some common sense. Terry?
Yeah, see, one more last comment. It's news that says that COVID-19 is hitting Democratic states harder than Republican ones. Now, I can have my take on why that's happening. Why do you think that's happening? Is that just a... just by chance, or is there really a reason? In other words, the Democratic states are being hit harder with more COVID-19 than Republicans. What are they doing different?
I'll tell you what I see. I live in a red state.
Okay, but yeah, I'll tell you why. I think the herd immunity is not being practiced as much in Democratic states.
They have all you guys locked up.
They got us all locked up in California. And what happens is your immunity goes down, and so you're going to get sick more often. And in the Republican areas where they're giving people more freedom and saying, look, maybe this is better. Yeah, you got to have the economy going. You got to have people meeting people. I mean, so some people are going to get sick, but the immunity will only come through the herd immunity when more people get this virus. And so that, I think that's a big play in it. That's my take, Jess. Tell me if I'm onto something.
No, I agree. I want you to say it because
I live in
California, so I mean I'm seeing it here in Arizona. The numbers things look good over here again because we're not practicing being locked up in our houses. We're out there, and our antibodies are being built up because again, as you're out there around germs and viruses. That's how your body becomes stronger, as it's building a resistance. Your immune system becomes stronger.
That's how it works.
Because that's the way it, that's just the way it works. Terry, one more thing I just want to mention is that the Sacred Heart of Jesus, home enthronement.
Yes, I love
this
that.
This is spiritual warfare.
Oh, at its best.
You know, this started right around the 18th century. It was right. popularized by St. John Eudes. And there was these French peasants. They were called the Chouans. The Chouans. And they were these glorious Catholic peasants in the town of Vendy and Britannia. Well, what happened is that they rose up during the French Revolution in 1793 to fight for the restoration of the French monarchy. And on their weapons, they painted the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And even on their bodies,
yep.
they bore the badge of the Sacred Heart, which is again was popularized by St. John Hughes. And likewise, you also have the Carlist. These were Catholics also with red berets, and their battle cry of Viva Cristo Rey in the Spanish Civil War of the 1930s. This is in Spain.
That's right.
But the emblem of the sacred, they put the emblem of the Sacred Heart on their rifles, revolvers, heavy arms, and even their tanks. And Catholics who want to do real spiritual combat, we've got to go back to this old Catholic traditional practice. It's called the Great Triad of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, devotion of reparation to Jesus, and for the mercy of sinners. So what's the triad devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Here it is. Number one, a weekly holy hour. Check that off your list. Terry and me have been telling you that, I don't know for how long.
Yep.
Number two, the monthly First Friday. Going to Holy Mass in a state of grace the first Friday of the month. And number three, celebrate the annual feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, again, by going to Mass. Let's not forget that our Lord told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, he told her this, it's in the autobiography of St. Margaret Mary, page 57, he says, remain prostrate with me an hour, not only to appease the divine anger by begging mercy of sinners, but also to mitigate in some way the bitterness which I felt at that time on finding myself abandoned by my apostles. So here's our challenge, my challenge to all of our listeners. Try to find some time this week to just go prostrate on your face in silent prayer for a whole hour. And again, put a statue or an image of Jesus Christ somewhere in front of you. You're prostrate in front of him, not a human being, not somebody from Black Lives Matter. The Lord Jesus Christ, put an image or go to the Blessed Sacrament and do this. If all of us, I believe, here in VMP, do it this week, an hour on our face of prayer before either an image of Jesus or the Blessed Sacrament, I believe God is going to use that as a powerful means of reparation and bring peace to our land once again. Terry.
And Jesse, I want to encourage people to go to type in on Google the Sacred Heart promises, like peace in the family. Okay, there's lots of promises, 12 promises that you have with the Sacred Heart. And in the enthronement, just so you know, you don't need a priest to enthrone your house to the Sacred Heart. Yes, I had a home mass, and the priest was there for our enthronement of the Barber home, and I'm sure the Romero home's enthroned to the Sacred Heart also. And so what you can do is there's a kit right online where you can just enthrone the picture of the Sacred Heart, have mom and dad, the kids sign this little document that we're putting Jesus Christ as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in our home as the Sacred Heart. And Jesse, there's a tie-in with the Sacred Heart of Jesus and divine mercy. And the tie-in is the devotion about the Heart of Jesus and divine mercy are really connected when you see the two devotions. And why is that? Well, think about what was going on with St. Margaret Mary in 1775. France was leaving everything about their faith. They were secular. They were trying to live the lie that you can live life without God, kind of like our own time. So devotion to the Sacred Heart, devotion to the divine mercy is really a response to the walking away right now of God in our culture. And so having devotion to the Sacred Heart will lead you in a very powerful way for your family. So if you want to get that enthronement, just type in Sacred Heart devotion, Sacred Heart enthronement, and it'll walk you right through it. So I'm really encouraging you to do that in the month that's dedicated to the Sacred Heart, which is June.
I'll tell you why. I know exorcists.
Tell me.
That will say, when they go to a house to bless the house, they'll tell the father, the husband, they'll say, here are the prayers for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and throw them in. I'll bless the picture. I want you to do it. You know why that is? I'll tell you why that is.
Mm.
Because Father's going to leave. Father doesn't live there. And so, yeah, a priest can enthrone the Sacred Heart because he has the authority to do so. But guess who lives in the house? And guess who is the priest of the house? In fact,
that's right.
You know what St. John Chrysostom calls the Catholic man? Mm. He says he's the bishop of his house.
Yep.
Did you catch that?
Yep.
He's the bishop of his house. So exorcists, they prefer Catholic men to do the enthronement because they live there. And it makes them responsible now because they're saying, wow, I enthrone Jesus as king of my house. I enthrone him as the center of my house, as the Lord of my house. I have to live that out now.
That's right.
I'm under obligation not to be a hypocrite. I did this in front of my family and my kids. I led them in prayer. We installed Jesus Christ as king of this house. Man, I can't fall back on my word. See, it makes a man
absolutely
more responsible when he does it. Last week here in my, I've already, two guys said, hey, Jesse, I want to do and throw my house to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I took the whole kit, went over there, two different houses. I said, here you go, buddy. I'm going to walk you through it. Get your wife and kids. You're going to do it. What? Meet me? You're going to do it. Man up. Pull your pants up.
Exactly.
Okay? This is your house. I don't live here. The priest doesn't live here. You live here. You run the devil out of the house, and you claim Jesus Christ as king of the house. Let's get to it. And I have to hold these guys by the hand. But my wife and myself, we're committed to do that in the Diocese of Phoenix. We're just going to go basically every week to another different house because people are always asking me. I'm saying, quit being a sissy. Oh, Father, can you come? I've had my house blessed by priests, but
sure,
they don't live here.
That's right.
They don't live here. I live here. And St. Thomas of Aquinas says, St. John Chrysostom says, you have full authority as the man, the father, the husband, to bless and to drive out demons from your house. Why? Paragraph 1666. It's your domestic church. You, dad, man up and start doing this. This is how we drive the diabolical out of our house. And this is how we bring blessings. We bring the grace of God, the economy of grace falls upon our wife and our kids through dad's faith, dad's penance, and dad's prayers.
Well said, Jesse. We've got Father Charles Murr on with us tomorrow. Jesse will be out, and he's going to be talking about how to fight the culture of death and how to avoid the big lie. And that, what is the big lie? That people are telling us that we can live life without God. Father Murr will lay it out very clear to us. Jess Romero, we have the five stones of David. What are those five stones to help you live a more centered life of Christ?
I think we've been saying in the whole show, if you're not praying the rosary every day, don't complain. You're part of the problem. Number two, go to Mass every Sunday for the rest of your life, days of obligation, during the week if you can. Sign up for a holy hour of power. Do one on your face. Three, read the Bible every day. Four, Fridays is days of penance. And five, make sure you remain in a state of grace by going to monthly confession and doing the act of contrition every night for the remission of your venial sins.
I want to thank you again for joining us, Jess. We have a special show coming up in coming weeks with Bishop Strickland from Tyler, Texas. So thanks for saying yes, Bishop, and I think folks are going to enjoy that. I want to leave on a note that we always leave on. Jesse, what state should we be living in?
It doesn't matter what state you live in all 50, so long as your soul's in a state of grace.
Amen.
And make sure your soul's not in a state of mortal sin.
Absolutely.
Up until that point, live wherever you want, but just fight the good fight of faith.
And up next is Matt Arnold's show. If you can't get it on your local station, go get it from our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or download the free app. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.